Let's now move on to pray with Jesus, Psalm 104. It begins, "Bless God, O my soul. O God, my God, how wonderful you are. You are clothed with beauty and majesty, wrapped in a mantle of light. You stretch out the heavens like a tent. You establish your dwelling above the rains. You make the clouds your chariot and ride on the wings of the wind. You make the storm your herald. The lightning carries out your will. You set the earth on its foundations. It will never be shaken. You cover it with the ocean as with a garment. The waters rise up to assault the mountains. But when you rebuke the waters, they flee. At the rumble of your thunder, they take to flight. They rose up to the mountains and ran down to the valleys, to the place that you appointed for them. You set a boundary that the waters may not pass, so that they might not again cover the earth." He's referring back to the story of the flood. "You," the psalmist continues, "you set a boundary that the waters may not pass, so that they might not again cover the earth. You make rivers gush forth from their springs to flow between the hills, giving drink to the wild animals. The wild asses quench their thirst. The birds of the air nest near the streams and sing among the branches. From your lofty abode, you water the hills. The ground drinks its fill of your gift. You cause the grass to grow for the cattle and plants through human labor. We are to produce food from the fields, wine to gladden the heart, oil to make the face shine, and bread for strength. The trees of God are watered abundantly, the cedars of Lebanon planted by God. Birds nest in their branches. On the treetop the stork has its home. High mountains are for the wild goats. Rocks are the refuge for the hillock. You make the moon to mark the seasons. The sun knows its time for setting. You make darkness and its night when all the animals of the forest come out. The young lions roar to you as they search for their prey. At the rising of the sun, they withdraw and go to rest in their dens. We go out to work and labor until evening. O God, how manifold are your works! Everything you've done is masterly. The earth is full of your wonderful creatures. Yonder is the sea, great and wide, filled with fish past counting. There ships ply their trade, and there is Leviathan that you made for play. All these creatures, prays the psalmist, all look to you to give them their food in due season. When you provide it, they feed. When you open wide your hand, they have their fill. But when you hide your face, they are dismayed. When you take away their breath, they die and return to dust. You send forth your breath, your spirit, and they are created, and you renew the face of the earth. May your glory, O God, endure forever. May you rejoice in creation. One look from you, and the earth trembles. One touch, and the mountains erupt. And he concludes, I will sing to God as long as I live. I will sing praise to my God while I have breath to do so. May my meditation be pleasing to you, for I delight in you. May sinners disappear from the earth. May the wicked be no more. Bless God, O my soul. Praise God. And that is the meaning of Alleluia. Psalm 104 extols the greatness of the Creator as revealed by God's presence and action in creation. As we reflect back on this psalm, seven themes stand out. 1. How creation reveals God's work. To pick up a more modern version of this, may I read for you Gerard Manley Hopkins' poem, God's Grandeur. He writes, the world is charged with the grandeur of God. It will flame out like shining from shook foil. It gathers to a greatness like the ooze of oil crushed. Why do men then now not wreck his rod? Generations have trod, and all is seared with trade, bleared, smeared with toil, and wears man's smudge, and shares man's smell, and the soil is bare now, nor can foot feel being shod. And for all this, nature is never spent. There lives the dearest freshness deep down things. And though the last lights off the black west went, O morning at the brown brink eastward springs, because the Holy Ghost over the bent world broods with warm breast and bright wings. Gerard Manley Hopkins has beautifully picked up the essential music of Psalm 104. So that's one theme that plays throughout the psalm. A second one is that the transcendent God is continually present and acting in creation. Verses 29 to 30. When you hide your face, they are dismayed. When you take away their breath, they die and return to dust. You send forth your breath, and they are created, and you renew the face of the earth. A third theme, human beings work in harmony with the rhythms of creation. As he said, we, human beings, go out to work and we labor until evening. The fourth theme, sharing in God's delight in creation. The author is a contemplative. He's attentive to the sacred in the interconnectedness of things. He's a poet working with language to share what he recognizes to be beyond comprehensive expression. A fifth theme of this poem, this psalm, everything is connected to everything else. This is expressed well in the following words from Ecclesiastes, from the preacher, when he says, all have the same breath. That's chapter 3, verse 19. And the psalmist wrote, you send forth your breath, and they, the whole, is created, and that you renew the face of the earth. A sixth theme, how creation reveals the beauty of the Creator. Praying it as Christians, we contemplate Jesus, God's focal word, the perfect expression of divine beauty. And we might, if you'll allow me, read another of Gerard Manley Hopkins' poems. This is The Windover, composed in 1877, just before his ordination, and he dedicated this poem to Christ our Lord. Creation reveals the beauty of the Creator. Gerard Manley Hopkins writes, I caught this morning, morning's minion, kingdom of daylight's dauphin, dapple dawn-drawn falcon in its riding of the rolling level underneath him, steady air, and striding high there, how he rung upon the rein of a wimpling wing in his ecstasy. Then off forth on swing as a skate's heel sweeps smooth on a bow bend. The hurl and gliding rebuffed the big wind. My heart in hiding stirred for the bird, the achieve of, the mastery of the thing. Brute beauty and valour and act, O air, pride, plume, here buckle, and the fire that breaks from thee then, a billion times told lovelier, more dangerous, O my chevalier. No wonder of it. Sheer plod makes plough down sillion shine, and blue bleak embers are my dear, fall, gall themselves, and gash gold vermilion. And while we're looking for similar poems of the beauty of creation, let me read to you from stanza 4 and 5 of John of the Cross's Spiritual Canticle. He writes, O woods and thickets, planted by the hand of my beloved, O green meadow, coated bright with flowers, tell me, has he passed by you? Pouring out 1,000 graces, he passed these groves in haste, and having looked at them with his image alone, he clothed them in beauty. In commenting on this spiritual canticle, John of the Cross writes, St. Paul says the Son of God is the splendor of his glory and the image of his substance. It should be known, writes John of the Cross, that only with this figure, his Son, did God look at all things, that is, he communicated to them their natural being and many natural graces and gifts. And he made them complete and perfect, as it said in Genesis, God looked at all things that he made, and they were very good. To look and behold that they were very good was to make them very good in his word, his son. And John of the Cross continues, not only by looking at them did God communicate natural being and graces, as he said, as we said, but also with the image of his son alone, he clothed them in beauty by imparting to them supernatural being. This he did when he became man and elevated human nature in the beauty of God, and consequently all creatures, since in human nature he was united with them all. Accordingly, the Son of God proclaimed, he's quoting from John 12, "If I be lifted up from the earth, I will draw all things to myself." And in this elevation of all things through the incarnation of his Son and through the glory of his resurrection according to the flesh, not only did the Father beautify creatures partially, but we can say he clothed creatures entirely in beauty and dignity. And John of the Cross goes on in Spiritual Canticle, the stanzas 14 and 15, he writes, "My beloved is the mountains and lonely wooded valleys, strange islands and resounding rivers, the whistling of love-stirring breezes, the tranquil night, the time of rising dawn, silent music, sounding solitude, the supper that refreshes and deepens love." And in John's commentary on his own poetry, he writes, "This spiritual flight denotes a high state and union of love, in which, after much spiritual exercise, the soul is placed by God. This state is called spiritual espousal with the Word, the Son of God." And the seventh theme that we pick up from reading this psalm, it concerns sin. In the final verse, the psalmist prays, "May sinners disappear from the earth, may the wicked be no more." The psalmist longs to see the end of sin, for it's sin that obscures the glory of God and spoils creation.